The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
There's a test. It has 613 questions. If you miss one, if you just miss one, you fail. And by the way, you've already missed about 590 of them. You know? I mean, Betty'd only missed 30. But you missed a bunch of them, right? Okay. Or my son took the test for you. And he made a perfect score.
Finding freedom from shame, guilt, and striving in grace, period.
Well, one of our favorite people is with us, and you are our favorite people because you make happen the greatness of God that many people witness on this show, and the man that's with us certainly witnessed it, and he's a part of it because he's been at my side, you might say, in many ways, for more than 40 years. It's Robert Morris. He's our pastor. He's not only one of the most famous preachers we have on here, but he's one of the most effective preachers we have on here. And his effectiveness is just now reaching, in my opinion, a level higher than anything that he has ever done or written. And Gateway is known as a great church with great campuses and a great impact all over the world and a great viewing audience. We just introduced the book yesterday, Dream to Destiny, which is absolutely phenomenal. Now he's got a book on grace that we're going to talk about today. I'm going to be giving you a book I want you to read immediately, and we put it in action because if we do, we will save the future of freedom. And we will see all that made this nation great and our founders great and every great thing that's ever happened in history and must be in place is taught in 19 short chapters that a seventh grader and up can read easily, easily. And I want you to get it. Betty and I are here every day. Why are we here every day, Betty?
Because we love God and we love people. And that's you.
We love God and our neighbors. And we are here for you. And you know what? You decide to love God and people all over the world that are not even your neighbors, but He died for them. And you decided to help live for them and point them to life. Well, that's what Robert does. I mean, it's a nonstop with him. And now, Robert, I want to tell you, it's a joy to be your friend. It's a joy to be your co-laborer. It's a joy to be what you call an apostolic elder at the church, a leader. It's been a joy to share at the church. It's been a joy to walk at your side in things that we enjoy, but primarily getting God's arms around people, getting them to be full of Him so that His life and His love flows like a river through them, and it makes an impact everywhere it flows. It brings forth fruit. Now then, we're realizing it all happens because of His grace.
That's it.
You and I were laughing a little bit before the show, but it wasn't too funny. They said, for me and you, we knew we needed grace. For Debbie, his wife, and Betty, my wife, they had a little trouble knowing they needed grace. And Betty will probably tell you today how she figured it out. But listen, God's grace is offered, and you can't live a life of meaning without experiencing it and expressing it. Robert, cut to the chase. What do you want people to hear about grace?
Well, the full title of the book, as you can see there, is Grace, period. I wrote the word period out. And the reason is it's grace, period, that saves us. It's not grace and. It's not grace if. It's not grace but. It's grace, period. And we have added so much to grace. The problem with that is that it confuses us. And instead of doing good works because we're saved, we try to do good works to get God's approval.
Yes. And even to get saved. Some people think that's going to get them saved.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But we already have it. Mm-hmm. And so it's completely, totally His grace. And what I've seen in my life and in my pastorate is when people finally catch it, that I'm saved by grace and grace alone, that's when their lives completely change. Because if you don't understand grace, it changes the way you relate to God. It changes the way you relate to each other. And it actually changes the way you actually relate or see yourself.
Yeah, I would
so
think
it changes everything.
I would think it would relate greatly to how you treat others.
It does. It does.
Because, you know, forgiveness is a real display and expression of grace.
Well, it says freely you've received, freely you give. So if I don't feel like that I've received grace or forgiveness freely, if I feel like I had to earn forgiveness from God, then when you do something wrong, I'm going to make you earn my forgiveness. See? Mm-hmm. It just changes everything. And especially in a marriage, that won't work. That's the last place it'll work. Yeah. So when we understand grace, that is completely and totally what Christ did on the cross, and I simply receive it. It's like if you were giving me a gift, it's not I have to be good enough. Let me go out and do something and mow your yard to get the gift, James. Let me do something for you. Let me wash your car. Well, if I do, then it's not a gift.
Yeah, or find a way to pay you back.
That's right. That's right. Then it's earned.
Yep.
But if it's a free gift and I receive it freely, there's a love, an appreciation, a gratitude that I walk in then for our friendship. And it's the same way with the Lord. So many times we walk in a relationship with Him that is not a free relationship. It's not a loving friendship relationship.
You know, I gave you a lot of opportunities starting when you were a teenager. We have walked so many things out together. And many times we experienced grace in the way we loved each other, the way we helped each other, the way we shared. And now then, as you've become one of our greatest supporters, and we were yours even when you were moving into starting the church, almost when you were a kid and in your first ministry. And He's inspired people to experience a blessed life of blessing and not giving to get, but giving to bless and giving to give. And you know what? Much of the church world got it. The message got them. That's what He wants to happen with Dream to Destiny. That's what I want to happen with Fight the Good Fight, the right fight over the enemy. And now then His grace, when you experience His grace, it will flow freely like a river of life and love, which I express over and over. His life, His love flowing through yielded vessels, channels cleansed by His power, and that river of life produces fruitfulness, bountiful fruitness, amazing, miraculous, supernatural, eternal fruit everywhere it flows. That's grace.
Yeah, that's it. Well, so if I just take a few minutes and just go theological.
Do it.
You know,
I'd love for that to happen.
Because I think it's one of my gifts is to take something complicated theologically and make it simple.
Yes.
And so when God made the covenant with Moses, there were two types of treaties in the world at that time. One was called a suzerain vassal. I know it's a big two words, but suzerain means sovereign or supreme, and vassal means servant. So a supreme and a servant. And so a supreme nation would make a covenant with smaller nations, and it was basically, we'll protect you if you will be our servants.
Wow.
And this is in the Bible. So that's one type of treaty. The other treaty that was available during Moses' lifetime, 1,500 years before Christ, was a parity treaty, or a pair, P-A-I-R. In other words, like equal. And it would be two equal nations that would say, listen, I got 50,000 soldiers, you got 50,000 soldiers. We really don't know who would win if we fought, but let's make a treaty so that together we have 100,000 soldiers and nobody can come against us. If somebody comes against you, I'll come. If somebody comes against me, you come. Okay. And what Hebrews goes in and tells us is that the first treaty had a fault. The fault was they couldn't do it. The people couldn't do it. So He had to do a second treaty. So the first covenant was God saying, if you do this, then I'll do this. If you'll do this, then I'll do this. It was a greater nation, God, a greater king, making a covenant with the lesser nation. But what He wanted to do was a parity treaty. But He couldn't do it, the Bible says, because He didn't have anyone equal. That's Hebrews, exactly, right out of it. Mm-hmm. But He makes an example of it with Abraham. It's just the example. And what's amazing is Abraham thinks God's going to make the covenant with him. But He doesn't. He actually puts him to sleep. He doesn't need Abraham to make the covenant. he makes the covenant, it says, a smoking oven representing God who forms all life, and a burning torch, the Son, and they pass through the pieces. So the Father makes a covenant with the Son, and Abraham believes, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. In other words, sin was taken out of his account and right standing was put in his account. And Romans then tells us that's the new covenant, that he believed and he received right standing with God.
And am I right to believe that he was sleeping when all this is happening?
Yeah, Abraham was asleep.
He sure didn't have a thing to do with it.
He didn't have one thing to do with it. He just had to believe.
Yeah.
And then righteousness put in his account. So that's what the new covenant is. God the Father on Calvary made a covenant with God the Son. Mm. And if I believe it, then sin is taken out of my account. Righteousness, right standing with God, is put into my account. In other words, I'd like to even just for a minute just say to everyone watching, it's the easiest thing in the world to get saved. It's the easiest thing in the world. God doesn't want anyone to spend eternity without him. So all he did was make it so easy that you just simply believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose on the third day, that he is the Savior of the world. That's grace, and you can do that right now. You don't even have to walk down a church aisle to do it. Now, it'd be good to become a member of a church, but you can simply believe in Jesus right now. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant, you had to keep the law. Here's another way to say it. There were 613 laws, actually. There were 10 commandments, 613 laws. Okay, so let's just say God says to you, James, there's a test. It has 613 questions. If you miss one, if you just miss one, you fail. And by the way, you've already missed about 590 of them. You know? I mean, Betty'd only missed 30, but you missed a bunch of them, right? Okay. Or my son took the test for you.
That's right. He did.
And he made a perfect score. So you can take his grade or you can try to take the test yourself. That's what grace is.
You know, we've been together 42 years kind of in ministry, him working with me and mostly listening to me preach. And we would hear him very seldom actually standing up to our preaching. When Robert would sit in the chair over here as an associate over at Shady Grove Church in Grand Prairie, which is Irving, you know, the other side almost to Dallas, he would come here and start telling us what God was showing him. Sitting here, telling us things that he's seen in the Bible. And it was just totally captivating. And it was there that we first heard you preach, so to speak. But now then, we were one of the earlier members at the church that we encouraged him to consider being in Southlake, the place that was exploding with people. And over 20 years, he did that, and we were one of the first members. Does he not, from the pulpit, make everything just as clear as you did when you say, and have you ever heard anybody teach truth in God's Word and important matters any more simply and clearer than Robert does?
No, it's beautiful just listening to you talk about God's grace, because I'm one of those people that experienced that. Good girl, went to church, never missed anything going on at church, but I had something missing in my life. And God put this man in my life, this young boy, and saw me. I got to observe God really coming in and changing his heart. I saw truth and love and God's grace, biggest life, change his life. And I thought, I don't have that. I want that, but I don't have it. And so I began to let God change my heart. And when I fell on my knees at church that day, as we've talked about many times, Robert, when we get together, I've relived that moment in my life when I said, I'm tired of being good. I'm tired of working, trying to please God and trying to be good enough that he will accept me. He says he sent his son, Jesus, to die for my sin. And Jesus, I give you my life. And it's never been the same. I know what his grace feels like.
He's beautiful in her, isn't he?
He is, he is. And you know, as you mentioned, Debbie and Betty are a lot alike. You know, when the four of us go out to eat, you know, you and I can't hardly get a word in edgewise because of those two, you know. It's obviously a joke, you know. Sometimes they scoot their chairs over so they can talk, you know.
Yeah.
But Debbie, almost the same way, when she saw me get saved, she saw, like you, such a gratitude. Betty saw that in you. And Debbie used to think, I'll never love Jesus as much as Robert does because he was forgiven of so much. And there was even that parable she misunderstood about the one that's been forgiven much loves much. But it's because the one that's been forgiven little doesn't understand, Jesus said, he's actually been forgiven just as much.
Yep.
We've all been forgiven. Yeah. You know, it's all. And Debbie one day in worship had this vision that she was in this white wedding dress. She was going to meet Jesus, her groom, and she fell in a mud puddle. And she was covered with mud, even her hair, her skin, where you couldn't just cover. And she was so brokenhearted, you know, like her dress would never be the same, her hair would never be the same. And then she saw 2 feet in front of her standing on top of the mud with prints in them.
Wow.
Mm.
So he wasn't touched by the mud. Mm. He was pure. But he reached out his hand, and when she put her hand in his, the mud just went away.
Wow, wow, what a picture. Mm.
And he picked her up, and they began to dance. But she said,
That's
when
grace.
I was in the mud, she said, I remembered these things, these sins that I'd done growing up, you know.
Wow.
Okay. And she knew she was forgiven and that she was just as sinful or just as muddy as anyone else. But I remember thinking, wait, what sins did you do growing up? I mean, I didn't know she'd ever sinned. You know, I wanted to know. And you know what she told me? She said, when we were young, you know, if you tore your notebook paper, we used to have those little white rings, circles that you would put on a tear so it would produce the hole again for your notebook paper. And she asked her mother, they had like 100 in a package, to buy them because she had one hole in a paper, in one of her papers. And her mother said no. And so she, when her mother wasn't looking, she opened up and she took one out.
Oh.
But here's what I remember thinking.
Oh, so
you remember, you know how my life was. I thought, that's the worst thing you ever did. No. But the point is, she understood that it wasn't her works, just like Betty did. She understood it wasn't that she had to be good enough. And that's why I wrote the book. I want people to understand you don't have to be good enough.
No.
You just have to receive what Jesus did for you on the cross. And so I explain it in scripture after scripture after scripture after illustration after illustration. And I wrote it just like you wrote the book, Fight the Good Fight, in 8 to 10 page chapters. So you could just read one maybe before you went to sleep at night and just get another truth, another truth, another truth.
If you read the book, you will find that you're getting in the Word, but something even more profound and powerful and meaningful. The Word will be getting in you, His Word. That's the way Robert preaches. That's the way he writes. I pray you get both the books that have just come out. And this one on grace will introduce you clearly and very well to the power of grace and give understanding of what it is. Betty, you're such a blessing. Thank you for loving Betty like you so obviously do, and me and our family and our ministry team and the missionaries all over the world. Would you right now do what you tell us you love doing as much as anything in the world? And that's caring for the unnoticed and the overlooked and the trampled and the hurt. And these are the sexually enslaved and trafficked by the power of sin, not theirs. They're the slaves to people who are slaves of sexual sin, sexual traffic. And we can set them free. And when I say we, Betty and I can find them. We can pray for them. We can weep over them. We ask God to give us the support for the mission workers and the relief workers and the facilities needed, and we ask you to provide it. I want you to watch this, and then I want you to pray about giving $128 to rescue one, or let's just say $1,280 to rescue 10. But now it's going to be doubled because some people like you gave $320,000 matching gift. which will basically double what you give. Watch closely. Watch very prayerfully, and then respond.
So as I'm here and I just walk the last 23 steps between these two countries that a child would take before they stepped off the cliff into a literal hell. I'm so mindful right now of the trickery of the devil and how deceitful he is and how much he lies to people to lure them into his pit. And friends, I can promise you right across that border, here's the pit that young people never come home from. For children who have been lured, who've been made promises that they're gonna have a better life, that they're gonna get a job, that someone's gonna marry them, that someone's gonna love them, and they're all lies. Standing here, I realize how grateful I am that we have partners on both sides of this border to help prevent and to help rescue and to help restore children's lives. But the fact is, without your help, we can't keep those workers here. So we need you, and we need you right now. Your gift right now is the difference between someone who is rescued, someone who is prevented from being trafficked, or someone who is literally stepping off the cliff of no return.
Father, I pray that everybody watching would want to put your arms around those that have been trafficked and lift them up out of that pit of depravity, slavery, and bondage, and hell, and give them life. In Jesus' name, you are the reason that you see the miracles over the years. Now think about it. You drilled over 8,000 water wells. You inspired 100,000 to be drilled. Think about that. The local nations have reported that you, through your support, have helped us save their count, not ours, 18 million children's lives. That's what you did. You have rescued hundreds of thousands of trafficked girls and boys. We need your help right now, as much as we ever have. You know all the distractions that are taking people away from seeing what needs to be done. You know the economic pressures. Well, we feel it. Missionaries feel it. We need the biggest possible response today. We have some friends who will match what you give. Some friends who love life and life today have put up a $320,000 matching gift. So whatever you give, $128 average to rescue one, we'll rescue two now. I always press you. Reach beyond what you would normally do. Could you give enough to rescue 10 by giving 1,280? Now it'll be 20. Would you do that, please, right now? We're going to send you Fight the Good Fight. I want you to read it. Jay Richards and I wrote it. It's 12 years of labor together to put this together. These are the principles that guided our founders to establish this nation, to write the Declaration and the Declaration of Independence. Listen, these are the principles essential for every meaningful thing to exist, from marriage and family to business to entertainment to sports, to nations, all of it. They have to be in place. They're irrefutable. They're revealed in what God created, so we're without excuse. Please get it, and then you'll know exactly what we have to do and how we get people to do it. And we're going to send you Robert's book on grace if you help us today. Would you please, right now, go get your bank card, dial the number, go online, and make the gift God put on your heart. You're giving the greatest gift. You're giving His love and His life. Please do it right now. If you write a check, call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail. Thank you so much.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help rescue one child can be double to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the brand new book from James Robison and Jay Richards, Fight the Good Fight. This book will open your eyes to what's at stake and the unwavering truth that God isn't finished with our nation. It's time to fight the good fight and return to unshakable biblical principles. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the NIV Large Print Thin Line Bible. This easy-to-carry, easy-to-read NIV Bible with comfort print allows you to take in more of God's Word each time you open your Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I want to thank you for putting God's arms around people that have been trampled, trafficked, in bondage. Thank you. I'm going to send you this immediately. I plead with you for freedom's sake, for the sake of everything you care about that matters. Read it. Short chapters. These are the principles that establish this nation. These are the principles every great thing has to be built on to be sustained. We're going to send you Robert's book on grace. Everything Robert does is effective. You know it is. Please accept our thanks. Robert, thank you for helping us. We're going to meet your son tomorrow, and we're going to meet the in-place pastor that will step where you are, but you're not leaving. Are you excited about that?
I'm excited because I'm going to give him all the hard work, and I'm just going to preach on the weekends.
Don't miss tomorrow. You are going to be blessed, and we're going to talk about fulfilling his dream. You don't want to miss this. You do not want to miss it tomorrow. Thanks so much for being such a blessing to so many.
Give your life to your Father, the one who helped you see. Won't leave you recklessly.
Well, too many believers walk around with an escapist mentality.
Exactly.
That one day, if I lay low, then I go to heaven.
Robert and James Morris, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.